soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on August 13, 2015. Today, I have a theme in my heart to share, and it's about not looking back. Do not look back. Once you step forward, receiving the calling and the election from the Lord, and God has commissioned you to His kingdom, you do not ever want to look back. You're to run forward. Go forward. And it is the Lord that starts the work, and He will finish the work as you abide in Him. Praise the Lord. There's an exceeding great reward in following the Lord. He Himself is the exceeding great reward. And this is what the Lord told Abraham, the father of faith, the old man that asked the Lord, "Lord, what will you give me, seeing I have no inheritance other than this Eliezer from Damascus?" And the Lord said, "I am your exceeding great reward." It starts from there. All the things that we could talk about are but side benefits to the fact that God Himself, the most unbelievable, most amazing, wonderful person you could ever meet, is the Lord. Full of love, full of light and goodness and kindness and mercy and truth, faithfulness, infinite in power and glorious. He sits in heaven as His throne, and the earth itself is His footstool. But He's made man in His image and likeness, and He's redeemed man from the fall, the catastrophic fall at the beginning, and redeemed us through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, was actually crucified from the foundation of the world? We're talking about some amazing things here. It's time to turn off the TV, turn off the distractions of the world, and start looking at this person, the Lord. Learn of Him. Find out who He is, because He is exceedingly wonderful, and He is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. And having given us His only begotten Son, shall He not also freely give us all things that we need? Yes, that's in Romans 8. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not of this world. God's called us out. That's what ecclesia means. That's where they get the translation, the word church. But it's an assembly. It's a people that are following the Lord. And the Lord delivers us, like the ancient children of Israel that were slaves in Egypt under the tyranny of the king Pharaoh. God revealed His mighty power and judgments against the gods of that land. And as they were obedient and had faith in the blood of Jesus, which is the Lamb of God, they took a lamb without blemish. And at the instruction of the Lord, they applied it on the lintel and the doorposts. And when the angel of death was passing through Egypt, it saw the blood and passed judgment, passed over. This is a parable. It's a parable that as we have faith and belief, and we're huddled in our house before the Lord, looking to Him and trusting Him in our hour of deliverance, that blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away our sin, and we are delivered out of the King Pharaoh's clutches. And the power of God brings forth deliverance against the demon powers of the idols. And the Red Sea parted, and the miraculous. And this was symbolic of being baptized into Jesus. And they went forth into the wilderness, but they had not faith. The word of God preached to them did not do them any benefit because they didn't mix it with faith. We have to have faith. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we're winding down this age. And we need the blood of Jesus more than ever. And our testimony is the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the blood of the Lamb, we abide in Him and keep His commandments, hearkening to His voice. We're going to be delivered. Just like the children of Israel delivered from Egypt, just like God delivered Noah at the time he flooded the earth with a catastrophic flood that was unprecedented. There is an ark today, and his name is Jesus. It's very specific. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. There was no other ark that could save those eight people at the time of the flood of Noah. You're either in the ark or out of the ark. You're either in Jesus or out of the Jesus. So take earnest heed and learn of the Father. It's time to put away religion. It's time to put away the shallowness of it. And it's time to make not this world your habitation, but make the eternal your abode. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was seeking the Lord with all my heart. I was on fire. People told me I was on fire. And I was reading the scriptures, and the scripture was alive, like it is alive. And I was receiving instruction from the Lord, and I was in awe. And he was my teacher. He still is my teacher. And I had a dream one night. And the dream was I was in a bicycle race, and I could go really fast. I could go really fast, and I know I could win this race in this dream. And all of a sudden, I find myself sitting at a convenience store, standing there eating something, talking idly while I'm in a race. And I realized, wait a minute, I'm in a race. And I got back, and I pedaled really fast. And then I came to another place, and something else distracted me. And then I realized I'm in a race. And guess what? The very next day, I opened my Bible, and I read this scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. This is amazing. So right after I have this dream, which was obviously through the Holy Spirit, because he convicted it with a simple word the next day as I woke up. And by the way, when you have a dream from the Lord and you're learning his voice, you recognize it's from him. It's not complicated. It's really not even a dark speech. He's just talking to you. But listen, we are in a race. It's eternal. And there's a prize for you. Go for it. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything hold you back. And you know people that train for the Olympics, they are self-controlled, aren't they? They're temperate. They're sacrificing. They're disciplined. They're strong. And they increase in strength because they're focused. They don't look to the left. They don't look to the right. But they're focused on obtaining that objective. And that's what the Lord is telling you. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Look at the Lord and run this race. Do not look back. That's the message I have for you today. Paul said in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. You know, I'm not just going through motions. I'm not just swinging, not even knowing what I'm doing or what I'm striving for. No. And he said, I keep under my body, I keep my physical body, its passions, its desires, its manner under control of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. I bring it into subjection. God will not have you be controlled or dominated or be led by anything but him. Hallelujah. That's where you come into liberty. When you surrender unto the Lord is when you have freedom and liberty, where there is a liberty in Jesus Christ. God will not have you be addicted. He would not have you be in bondage. He would deliver you like he did the ancient children of Israel. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's mighty in battle. And he will destroy the enemy one by one, little by little. But he wants you to grow in the Lord and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he wants you to put on the whole armor of God and stand. Do all that you can, and you are to stand. Stand strong in the Lord. Listen, he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have proclaimed to others, I myself should be a castaway or a rejection. I like that, Paul. Amen. The Lord many years ago taught me, don't be a contradiction. Don't be saying one thing and live another. That's why I give my testimony of the Lord, how I walk with the Lord. I abide in the Lord. I have sanctified the Lord in my heart, in my life, my mind, my spirit, and I'm clear in my conscience. It's wonderful. And the same can be so for you. Grow in that sanctification and justification and redemption and the wisdom that the Lord has for you. I encourage you today. This isn't about church. This isn't about going to a building and playing a part. This is about walking in the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ into the new creation, a new man, and walking in Jesus and running this race and finishing it. Praise the Lord. That's what God's called you to. Here's another text, similar. Hebrews 12, 1 and following. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about, okay, we're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. There is a race. There is. Time is of the essence. The clock is ticking. The opposition is fierce and strong. The dragon, the devil, knows his time is short and he's angry. And he's going to oppose you. Don't give him a place. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him anything. Walk on him through the victory of Jesus that's in Jesus Christ. Let the God of peace bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, that's your focus. Jesus has already won the victory. You have the victory. Look unto him. Glory in him. Get your eyes off yourself and look at him. The author and the finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Same for us, ladies and gentlemen. There's a joy, and it's eternal, and it's the victory, and it's the crown of rejoicing, and it's the victory for passing through by faith, by victory that's in the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. Don't be distracted. Don't stop. Don't delay. Don't be hindered by anything. And you're going to endure the cross. You're going to endure the shame, the being falsely accused, maligned. You know they called Jesus the Prince of Beelzebub, the Prince of Demons? They're going to lie about you. They're going to malign you. They're going to hate you. They hate him. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. This is what Jesus went through. Don't you be weary in your mind. That's what Jesus went through. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards or illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have given them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Yes. For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, according to their limited understanding, our parents. But God, for our benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. You know, when God spanks you, calls you on the carpet, it's embarrassing. Ouch. It's grieving. Then he says, come to the light. I'll heal you, I'll deliver you, I'll instruct you, I'll change you, I'll mold you, I'll fashion you, I'll wash you, I'll cleanse you, I'll deliver you. God is chastening. And as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Run this race. Get back on track. Lift the standard. Come on. So the Lord says, it's not fun to be spanked by the Lord. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields, it produces a harvest, a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you go this path, God spanks you, you repent, you change, he cleanses you, he delivers you, you walk in a newness, guess what? You're going to have this wonderful peace and righteousness, fruit coming forth in your life. So he says in Hebrews 12:12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. You know, you're all discouraged and like a little kid that got spanked and he has a long face and he's crying. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There you go. Read this chapter, Hebrews 12. There's a lot more there. But the theme is today is to run the race. Don't stop. Don't halter. Don't go backwards. We're going to read some texts that Jesus talked about this. In Luke 9. Listen, I'm going to read from verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. He's a traveler going through day by day, moment by moment, being directed of the Father what to do and say for his glory and fulfilling all righteousness. Okay? And he said unto another, follow me. Jesus says the same thing today. Follow me. But he said, Lord, this guy says, allow me to first go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm going to read that again. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Serve the Lord. Follow his direction. When he tells you to do something, you do it. You don't stop. Do you remember the old prophet that misled the young prophet? When the Lord had given the young prophet instructions, but the old prophet told him to do something different? And the young prophet followed the instruction of the older prophet and disobeyed the Lord. And then the word of the Lord comes to the older prophet and says, you have to tell him he's going to die for disobeying. You don't disobey anyone for the Lord. What Jesus said is, you have to love me more than your parents, more than your spouse, more than your children, more than your lands, your things you possess, more than your own life. He that loves anything else more than me is not worthy of me. This is Matthew 10:37. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. That's the race. It's a cross race. It's a race of the cross. It's in resurrection power. It's an almighty strength. It's an almighty anointing and everything you need to win the victory. You have the victory. It's been there. But don't stop. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't let your heart be corrupted or led astray by any other thing. Jesus said in Luke 17:32, three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Do you remember the story? There was a man named Lot that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities there, and God was going to rain judgment of fire, of brimstone upon it for the wickedness. The sins are listed 16:49-51. They're full of idleness, self-centeredness, arrogance, pride, foolishness, uncleanness, obviously sexual iniquity, homosexuality, perversity. And God sent angels to grab Lot because Lot was vexed with his soul. He didn't relate to it. He didn't identify it. It bothered him. And I dare say, ladies and gentlemen, if you're letting the media undermine and soften your conviction in your heart, and you're getting tolerant of this, of evil that's in our day, you better be careful. Lot vexed his righteous soul. And there was people in Ezekiel chapter 9 that were marked by God because they grieved over the abominations of the sins of Jerusalem when God sent angels with swords to slay from elder to baby those that were wicked in the city of Jerusalem. But he spared the ones that were righteous like Lot that were grieved. And I'm telling you today that you're under the influence of the world. If you're sitting under it, drinking the spigot of the media and all the, even the leaven of the falsehood of religiosity, you're being made accustomed to the way of the world. No, no. Stay sanctified by the Lord. Stay focused. Stay eternally focused, looking at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And let the Lord bring conviction. Let him bring cleansing to you and keep you as you run this race with endurance. But remember Lot's wife, because God delivered Lot, took him out. But Lot's wife looked back when they were instructed, do not look back, because out of heaven, like a furnace, came fire out of heaven from the Lord and burned that land to a crisp. But Lot's wife, she loved that land and the wickedness. She was right in line with it. Whoever will seek to save his life shall lose it. Your soul, your suke, your own thing. But whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. This is the thing about picking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following the Lord and running the race. The opposite of that is self-preservation. Looking to have accomplishments, loving this present evil world, and being accustomed with all of its evil ways, being contrary to the Lord. If you're a friend with the world, you're an enemy with God. This is what the Lord is saying. Run the race with patience, with endurance, with stamina, with strength. Lastly, John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. Because this chapter parallels this day. Why? Because John the Baptist was in the spirit of Elijah, the forerunner to the first coming of Jesus Christ. And if you could receive it, Jesus said about John, this is Elijah. Elijah, this prepares the way of the Lord. We saw this the first time, but it'll also be the second time as the preparation of the coming of the King Jesus Christ to execute righteousness and judgment and establish his kingdom. Listen, this is the word of the Lord in this chapter. In those days came John the Baptist proclaiming in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. That's a lot of people, isn't it? They came out into this, they weren't in the temple. They weren't meeting in the synagogues, but he was out in the wilderness, as it was prophesied in the prophet Isaiah. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. This isn't religion. This isn't denominational religion. It's not commercialized religion. This is the Spirit of God, the activity with the word of the Lord in the hour, calling people to repent and be immersed in baptism of repentance, confessing their sin, putting it away. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. They trusted in their genealogy, their DNA. When the Lord says there's no good thing in the flesh, it's not the flesh that justifies you. And that God can take of any nation as a stone and raise it up unto a children unto Abraham, who's the father of faith. Remember what God promised Abraham in Genesis 15? His inheritance would be more than the stars of heaven by faith. Now listen to this. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that comes after me, which is Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. And the Lord proclaimed from heaven his pleasure with Jesus Christ as he was baptized for righteousness' sake as an example. And the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Are you in Jesus Christ? That's where you will find God pleased with you. And God the Father in another text said of Jesus, whom he loves, he said, "Hear ye him." Ladies and gentlemen, hear the Lord Jesus. Keep your gaze fixed upon him and run this race with patience and endurance to the end. Stay tuned for To The Point Report with Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com. This is To The Point Report with Trevor Davis on August 13, 2015. And first thing in the morning on August 11th this week, I had written a document to the broker of record at Keller Williams in Bozeman, Montana, stipulating that the market could change due to the economic situation in the world, particularly citing Greece, China, and global debt surmounting, and that the stock market breaking through the support area could indicate a reversal in the trend, meaning that smart money will look for other alternative investment opportunities other than the stock market. When the stock market falls through its support and its trend is down, it'd be like trying to invest as the giant boulder rolls down the mountain. Later that day on Tuesday, August 11, sure enough, China's currency, the yuan, was devalued and it spooked the market and the stock market, breaking through the 200-day moving average, which is a key line in the sand. Watch these things, ladies and gentlemen. Other stories report food banks in the United States of America, the land of plenty, are struggling to meet the demand. There are long lines of people every day starting at 6:30 in the morning. Not enough food in the land of plenty. And ISIS has reported to a new warning to America, and soon you will see what they will do, they say. I'm Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com. This has been a production of RealtyReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtyReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.